ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to Failing Better with me, Johnny Pelham, and my wonderful co-host.
Me, Sean McLaughlin. Hi, sorry, I was just swallowing. There's a few crisps left on my teeth.
Sean's been eating crisps, and if you're wondering if crisps are a good food to eat when you're trying to podcast, the answer is no.
It is a, the jury's not out.
Yeah, the jury's like, coming.
The jury's very in, and it's a unanimous decision.
Is there anything worse you could eat than a crisp? I don't think there is. I think the crisp is the worst food you could be eating.
Maybe an apple.
Or maybe like an apple crumble would be quite, you know what I mean? Like, because it'd be too delicious to concentrate.
Well, I suppose something that's crunchy like an apple or a pear.
Yeah.
Which also could potentially drip onto the electronics. More dangerous.
I think you're focusing too much on the not. Because I think I'd just leave a pear. Whereas like a roast chicken dinner, I just think this is better than the podcast. I'm quitting.
Well, I mean, I think if we went into the Zoom to record this and one of us was eating a full roast chicken dinner, we'd probably give it 20 minutes.
That's true. Yeah, and particularly if there was an ultimatum, whereas if I'm not allowed to finish this chicken dinner, I'm done. You're going to be like, well, that level of commitment is not acceptable.
Johnny, we made a rule to ourselves when we started this thing. No chicken dinners in the studio. You know how the Beatles and like some bands go, no drink or drugs in the studio. Yeah. No partners in the studio. Ours is not that. We're not that strict. Ours is just don't eat a full roast.
Yeah. No gravy in the gravy boat whilst we're podding.
Look, we're trying to make a gravy train, not a gravy boat.
I just bought a gravy boat the other day. That was an adult purchase.
Very adult.
I, of course, mean Sophie, but I was near her when she did it.
Is a gravy boat just like a nice gravy holster? We have a nice gravy boat, actually.
You do?
Yeah. It's good. Yeah. It's nice. It adds an element.
I think what it shows is that we're both doing all right.
We're both doing pretty well.
We've got a gravy boat.
I don't know if you know much about the class system in the UK, listeners, but let's put it this way. A gravy boat costs somewhere in the region between £5 and £15. So
And the
your Patreon money is very welcome here.
Obviously, the 1% have gravy yachts. We're not up there with them on their super gravy yachts, but we're also... You know, if we need to travel by water, we can with our lovely gravy boat.
With a gravy boat. And Godspeed anyone who's unfortunate enough to have a gravy pedalo. I mean...
What I like about this is we've taken a mildly amusing thing and really ran with it.
We've either ran with it or, flip side of the coin, we've fucking beaten it into the ground. It feels a bit. It might be a bit too Radio 4. That you know, Radio 4, where they go bloody gravy boat or the bloody gravy thing. You know,
I do. That was a good accent, by the way.
I don't know if that's that gravy boat thing is like it's quite fun, but I don't know if it's us. So if this is your first time, if your first time listening, and you're going, wow, this is great. This is just like having to clue.
Fuck off.
We're not like them.
Yeah, we're scum. We're in the cellar with the rats here.
We've got gravy pedalos, and we don't even own them. We rented them from the local authority.
We stole them. Today, Sean, how's your week been before we crack into the main roast chicken of the podcast?
Which I was going to talk to you about.
Yeah.
I don't know. I still think I should talk about it on the podcast.
always a good sign.
You have just sparked something in me that I was going to talk to you about. Because you said stolen. You've stolen something.
Yeah, yeah.
And it reminded me that the other day I did something that I've never done before.
Wow. Murder. Class A murder.
I shoplifted.
Oh my God, what did you shoplift?
Just very exciting. Like a Snicker bar.
It's great, that, isn't it? I do.
No, it wasn't a Snicker bar. It was. Oh, wait, do you?
Yeah, but I just feel like I like stealing from Tesco or like you know these multi-billion-pound corporations.
Yeah, that was it. It was a Sainsbury's.
Yeah.
And I was buying loads of stuff, and I think I had something from the baked aisle, and it was more like I just couldn't be bothered. I was doing self-service, and I just thought, I'm just gonna see if I can get away.
It feels great, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's a real rush of adrenaline when you walk out of those doors and it doesn't beep.
Yeah.
And you're like, fuck me, I've just stolen from the man. The man has been fucked by me.
And
I think
it's now going to go up and up and up. And I think I'm going to have to rob a bank in the next sort of five months.
I would
love
that.
Just to get that kick.
If suddenly all our like techs really looks loads better, like, and I've been replaced with like Chris Eubank, you know, Sean successfully robbed a bank.
Do you think money is the only object to us getting Chris Eubank on this show? I think he'd probably have a few other complaints.
No, if we had enough money, if there's one thing I know about Chris Eubank, he'll do a lot of things for money. Didn't he go on Celebrity?
I'm going to look up Chris Eubank.
Booking
Chris Eubank. I'm just typing that into Google just to see if we can get him. He'd be a great guest. Do you mean Chris Eubank Senior, not Junior?
I do. Junior feels like quite an aggressive chap, really. I mean, I know they were both boxers, but I think he's got less charm than his dad.
Booking Chris Eubank.
And let me say this as an explicit policy. If Chris Eubank Junior wanted to be on the podcast, we would turn him down.
Look, We run a pretty tight ship here at Failing Better, and we will not have the likes of Chris Eubank Jr. on the pod. However, Chris Eubank Sr. is our most desired guest. I don't know. Should we just inquire? Should I just write an email to him now?
Yeah.
Name, what do I say? Name Failing Better.
It doesn't sound. I think this might get chucked in the spam.
Failing Better. Email. Oh, anyway, welcome to the show, everyone.
Why don't you say we are a self-improvement podcast who would be delighted to speak to... Is it to his, like, management?
Budget.
Let's just... How confident are you that you're going to be able to rob this bank, Sean? This is what it comes down to. Because I can rob us a Snickers. So maybe put Snickers or, potentially, £7 million.
Snickers. Date required. When are we next recording on Monday, aren't we?
Yeah.
Monday. Event description.
Fun chat with friends.
We want Mr. Eubank to appear on our podcast. It's a fun chat with friends.
I think that a fun chat
else,
with friends
what else?
Should be another slogan. What else do we need to say? Neither host knows that much about boxing, but we are inspired by his charisma and would like to learn more. His son can't go.
His charisma. I want to know more. Please note, Mr. Eubanks. Son, Chris Jr. is not welcome. Regards.
Failing Better Pod.
Failing Better Pod. I'm going to take a picture of this just to prove that this is real.
Well, imagine if we get a positive response.
Imagine we get it on Monday. On Monday. All right, let's do it. Sorry, I'm just taking this picture. I'll edit this out.
No, you don't need to edit it out. It's only a brief glimpse. And if anything, we can pop it on Twitter and it'll make people feel like they were there, which is what podcasting is all about.
Budget. Oh, it's not allowing that as a budget.
What's it said?
It's just got that bit. It's got a big red thing.
Snickers.
How much does a Snicker bar cost these days? Probably about a pound?
Yeah.
£1. Three add zero is three. Inquire now. It's not letting that be a budget. Oh, wait, it's got a thing. Oh, the lowest it goes is 995.
Pounds?
Yeah. Well, maybe P. Maybe pence.
Maybe put 995 and then in the comments underneath say, assuming you mean pence rather than pounds.
Okay. So, right. We want Mr. Ubank to appear on our podcast. It's a fun chat with friends. Neither host knows much about boxing. But we are inspired by his charisma and want to know more. Please don't make him a Seabank's son. Chris Jr. is not welcome. Regards, failing better pod. Do I then write PS or do I go at the beginning? So when do I talk about the...
I think it's budget? A PS. I think it's a PS.
Okay, PS.
We are assuming.
We are assuming the budget... Is the number in the budget lists the number lists the amount of pence?
I don't even know how you say pence.
It would cost
rather than pounds.
Rather than pounds.
And then you could even put, we're not made of money.
We're not made of money. And then I go, if you want to. Actually, I'm going to put this in the main thing. Chris is not welcome. Also, we would appreciate it if you went onto Apple Podcasts and gave us a 5-star review. If you could subscribe, that would also... really mean a lot to us as it helps us rocket up the charts. So there we go. Failing Better is written to him. I've put my actual phone number on this. Is that going to be a problem?
The only thing I'm slightly worried about is we do mention his son in what can be seen as an insulting way. And the other thing that worries about that, his son is a professional boxer.
Yeah, we've pissed off basically two generations of professional boxer. It won't let me do 995. Oh, well, no, wait, maybe it will. Shall I just put a random number that isn't mine?
I wouldn't put your number. And luckily, there's no real way for him to find out who Failing Better Pod are.
I mean, should I not put our email then? Should we build a fake email? Shall we build a fake podcast? No, I think this is fine. Failingbetterpod@gmail.com. Yeah. Put a fake number.
Yeah.
We want him in 3 days.
And we do not want his son.
We want Mr. Ubank to appear on our podcast. It's a fun chat with friends. Neither host knows much about boxing, but we're inspired by his charisma. Want to know more? I mean, that's a lovely
That's
thing.
Lovely, yeah.
Please note, Mr. Ubank's son Chris is not welcome. Should we cut that?
No, I think that's got to go. I think that's, if anything, that's the bit that makes me feel Emil most alive in all this.
Also, we would appreciate it if you went onto Apple Podcasts and gave us a 5-star review. If you could subscribe, that would also really mean a lot to us as it helps us rocket up the charts. Regards, Failing Better Pod. P.S. We are assuming the number in the budget lists the amount of pence it would cost rather than pounds. We're not made of money. All right. Thank you for your inquiry. A member of our team will be in touch shortly.
That is quite
scary,
isn't it?
There you go. And we've just received an email
from them, presumably.
From them, yeah. We've received an email. They're from the Champions Speakers Agency. So there we go, listeners. What a week. Next week could be.
So it's
what
exciting.
A week.
So we'll be speaking to Chris Ubank next week. But what are we talking about today, Sean?
Well, do you know what? I've actually just remembered something that is... genuinely going to blow your mind.
What?
What did you want to talk about in this week's episode?
School and education.
Okay, guess who lived at the bottom of the road that my school was at when I was a kid?
Mr. Blobby.
Okay, I'll give you a clue.
Yep.
We've just contacted him about appearing on this podcast.
Chris, the heavyweight champion of the world, Ubank.
He was never the heavyweight champion of the world. He was a middleweight. I think.
That's good knowledge. So why... Is that true?
Yeah, Chris Eubank lived... Because Chris Eubank lived in Brighton, and he was at the bottom of... He was just at the bottom of...
So did you see him ever doing anything?
I used to see him around town. He was like a... He was... Because when I grew up in Brighton, you know, Brighton's always been like an okay place, but it's never been cool like it is now. Yeah, Chris Eubank was the biggest celebrity in Brighton when I was a kid.
Did you ever see...
He drove a juggernaut. He had like a big 18-wheeler and he would just drive that around and occasionally you'd see him. And I remember once I went to my first ever concert on my own. I went to see a concert.
Well, not, you went on your own.
Not on my own. He was 11-year-old. Hello.
Hello, I'm here for Madonna.
No, I meant like I went with friends. Like, yeah. I didn't have parents or anything with me. I think I was 11 or 12.
That's so young, 11.
Or 12, maybe. Went to see Travis at the Brighton Centre.
That's
maybe
really
we were older than 12. That does feel young. Maybe we were 13. But anyway, afterwards we walked through the Odeon and Chris Eubank was just in there buying popcorn and he was dressed in like a safari outfit.
What a wonderful anecdote. Because when you imagine when you're 13, I mean, first of all, you've seen Travis and then you've seen Chris Eubank. I mean, that is a hell of a day.
I mean, the wattage, the stars in my eyes, I couldn't deal with it.
13-year-old, if you told that boy that 21 years later he'd be doing a failing podcast with a moron, he wouldn't have believed you.
You told him, 21 years later, you're going to be asking that same man to appear on a podcast. And you will be stipulating that his son cannot be present.
But if you told that 13-year-old boy that, he'd be really impressed because he'd have none of the context about... He'd think, God, what an amazing man who can demand those sorts of things of Chris, the middleweight champion of the world.
Yeah, and the thing is, we are demanding it. We are demanding it.
Yeah, yeah.
But they just will refuse the demand.
I don't think they will. I think that's very negative.
When do you think they're going to come in? When do you think we're going to get an answer? Do you think we'll get an answer by the end of this record?
Don't think they will respond. I think they'll see it as a silly response.
Should we call them?
Can you call them?
Yeah.
Give them a call.
I'd love Chris Eubank to get on the... I really like Chris Eubank. I really like him. I remember watching his Louis Theroux and I felt really bad for it. I think Louis Theroux was quite nasty about him.
I really have not. Why?
I think he's a really interesting bloke. Like, he's got...
Why was he mean to him? Amazing...
No, I think he was just sort of, I don't know. I think Chris Eubank sort of became, because he was sort of quite so eccentric and unusual.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But actually, I think he's a really sweet guy. And he's, you know, he's got more, like a loving family. And
you have a lot more opinions on Chris Eubank than I would have imagined you did before we began this pod.
Well, there you go, Johnny. I'm a man of many gifts.
You're an onion. You're layered. You make me cry.
And also, I remember he was doing an advertising campaign.
Yeah.
Or like a billboard campaign. What was it for like a biscuit or something when we were kids? And I remember walking home from school one day.
We're
going to talk about.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think Chris Eubank had famously gone bankrupt or something.
Oh,
and someone
sad.
Had drawn over this big billboard with him. They'd drawn like a speech mark writing, "I'm skint." Or they'd probably written, "I'm skint." I'm skint, haven't they?
Banksy was working that long ago.
Imagine if that was the first Banksy.
Because do you reckon Banksy was a prick? Like, because initially he'd been good at art. Do you know who Banksy is? Every now and then at a party someone will say, "I know who Banksy is." I always think, you know, what a shit human you are. Because if you have that secret, you don't say it at a party, do you?
Also, I don't care.
Do you not care?
Banksy could be multiple people. We don't know that. Ooh. What if they went, right, there's 14 Banksys?
I'd be quite sad about that. I want there to be one man. Ideally, I'd like him to be a sort of lonely alcoholic who really struggles to deal with the world, but he's very good at art.
Do you reckon it is Chris Eubank?
Oh, my God.
I think we're going to have to send another
letter.
Send
him another email going,
we are of the opinion that Eubank is Banksy.
Banksy. Oh, fuck me. Layers within layers here. I think we say, by the way, subject blackmail.
Subject blackmail. By the way, we've put the clues together.
We figured it out.
Eubanksy. I think it's astonishing that. Sorry, I've just hit the desk. Yeah, Chris Eubank lived at the bottom of my...
and
road, and it was so something, because also he had like quite a big place.
Mm.
He had like cameras. He had like a camera outside the front wall.
Yeah,
you had to like ring, and he would let you in.
Do you know, like,
I don't know why he lived there? Like, he was living right by two big comprehensive schools. He could have probably lived anywhere, but I don't know why he lived there. But I remember one day seeing some bad lads, older lads, getting this is awful. Getting like dog shit on a stick, and then ringing a Eubank's door and just putting the dog shit over the camera.
That's not nice, is it? That's literally what I was going to ask, though. I was going to ask, you know how like some like insecure people try and start a fight with bouncers because they want to prove that they're really hard? Do you think loads of people start fights with Eubank? Or do you think he's so hard that even the stupid idiots are like, I'm not fucking with the middleweight champion of the world?
I don't know. I suppose Eubank always had the kind of... Eubank was unique in that he had the demeanour of someone who wasn't one of the hardest men in the world, even though he absolutely was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a bit like me. That's a bit like me.
Yeah.
Me and Eubank are very similar in that way. We both briefly, there was rumours that we were Banksy, and we were also incredibly muscly strong men trapped in with a different personality.
Yeah, I've
that's why I want
so.
Him on the pod so much, because I want to talk to him about our struggles as real as real lovely fighters, but actually who are also quite nice men.
Oh yeah. So school days. What? Because you were going to talk. You were in a gang in school. I mean, that's the bottom line.
I was in a gang at school. So basically, I went to a pretty much all Asian school. I was the only white boy in my class. So what did I do? I had to join a gang. Who did I join? I joined a gang called the Blazing Bangladeshis. I talk about this in my stand-up, so I don't want to just go into doing stand-up about it. But I just
did you name the gang, or did they already exist?
I tell you what, I've realised I'm telling a lie here. The gang were actually called the Blazing Bengalis, but I changed it to the Blazing Bangladeshis in stand-up because I thought it was funnier. But in reality, it was actually the Blazing Bengalis.
The Blazing Bengalis?
Yeah. It's a better name, isn't it, than Blazing Bangladeshis?
It's definitely packs a bigger punch, I think, the Blazing Bengalis. And were you actually called the Blazing Bengalis?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it all began in a five-a-side football tournament, as I think all gangs did. That's where the Yakuza started.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, 100%.
The Mafia were just trying to get a Sicily football team together. And so it was just me and five Bangladeshi lads kicking around.
You and five Bangladeshi lads?
Yeah, yeah.
So it was a six-a-side tournament.
Well, we had a sub, mate.
You
we
just can't some. Keep your story straight, can you, Johnny?
Come on, but no, we had a substitute. It was, we all had nicknames. So Koiso was called Cash. Ashraf was called Mintu.
Wait. Start again. You all had nicknames.
Yeah.
And did you give yourself the nicknames?
I don't really know how the nicknames came on. Really, I'm trying to get to my nickname because it's an absolute banger.
All right, let me guess. Did you give it yourself?
No.
Okay. Was it?
Sean, let me say this. You will not get this. If we could have infinite Sean's with infinite typewriters, and
was
I don't think you
streak of piss.
No, it wasn't that. What horrible was that?
Fuck stain.
No, it was sexy boy. We're quite homoerotic, but.
So wait, what were all the nicknames? Go through all of them.
Koiso was Cash.
Koiso.
Ashraf was Mintu. Noel Amin Kayam just had his name said quickly. Noel Amin Kayam.
I think he got the short straw so far.
Mohammed Abdullah Al Masouf was MC Mass. And Ibrahim Ahmed was just Ibby. And then
that's really good. I like that, Ibby.
That's the shittiest one.
I think it's all right. Yeah, Cash is good. Cash is good.
And MC Mass is quite good too. Jonathan Pelham got turned into JD Murder.
Please unpack this. Please unpack this.
So I'd always wear a JD bag because they were quite cool back in the day.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So it was
a
JD, and then people thought I looked like a murderer. Not very friendly.
Not very friendly. You're the one who's trying to murder people.
I gave we were writing our name somewhere, and
what, like tagging a place, like tagging a wall or something?
Yeah, yeah. And I spelled murder, M-U-R-D-E-R.
Yeah.
It was a night. I really, my middle class roots were ruthlessly exposed.
I mean, you are like an undercover, undercover cop who wasn't even working for the police force.
It's so funny. There was one time where we'd got to the final of this five-a-side competition. And we were playing against some really good boys. They were much better football than us.
Okay.
So all my mates went off to pray in the toilets. and they
off to pray. You weren't invited into that, were you not?
Were they Muslim?
Were they
Muslim, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But then they made me an honorary Muslim.
More off to pray an honorary Muslim.
Yeah, so I swear to God, I think I was 13 when
I
this
don't
happened.
Think they had the authority to do that, Johnny. Well, I'm just going to call it.
I think they did. And they put some water on my on my side, and they said some prayers in my ears, and they went, "You are now a Muslim." So there's a chance you're speaking to a Muslim.
Well, in that case, I'm going to completely reframe how I conduct this interview.
Good. It was very fun. My school was so shit, though. It was this is how shit it was. When I was in, 13, we got inspected by Ofsted. They said the school's unacceptable. Then, 3 years later, we were just unacceptable. And then in year 11, so I was, 15 or 16, we were no longer unacceptable. We were requires improvement. And they had an assembly, a celebratory assembly, and put a banner up. I swear to God, there was a banner over my school that said, "This school is no longer unacceptable."
A win's a win, Johnny. So the Blazing Bangladeshis, are you still in touch with any of them?
Yeah, I still see Kaisar and occasionally Ashraf and Masuf.
Would they ever come on the pod?
I think that is plausible, definitely.
Would you like them on the pod?
Yeah, I it's not... I
think if we get you bank on, we could do with a bit of a backup.
Yeah. We get the Blazing Bangladeshis on. Blazing Bengalis, we'll see to them.
That's so exciting. So you were in the... And what sort of stuff did you get up to? And what sort of criminal activity were you involved in? Or were you kind of more... Is it more like you were protecting each other? It was sort of strength and unity.
Strength and unity. It was the weakest... We were all sheep herding together to try and not get bullied. But I think...
I'm just blown away by that. You've made an honorary Muslim. That's so exciting. How did you feel?
To be honest, even then I was aware that peer pressure was a startlingly strong force. Because I was thinking, so do you believe in God? I was like, yeah, sort of. But I did anything I could to fit in.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
There was a time, Sean, there was this white person being beaten up, and I stood behind a bigger boy and said, "Yeah, take that, you white bastard." totally oblivious to the insanity of that. But that boy, the boy I shouted, "Take that, you white bastard," to, he was the bravest racist I ever met in my life. Because he was white in a nearly all Asian school, and he'd be outwardly racist, and sometimes he'd try and bring me in. He'd be like, "Yeah, that's what we think, isn't it, John?" I'd be like, "That is not what we think."
You're flipping through the Quran.
Yeah. I'm signing up to extra mosque classes. Because most racists are cowards who, in a bigger group, pick on the minority. He was the exact opposite of that. He had a strong moral compass, which was he hated Muslims.
If he had a strong moral compass. I would say his moral compass was askew. He just had a very firm belief in it.
Yeah, and he wasn't going to be swayed by being picked on or bullied.
That's fascinating. So you saw him getting the shit kicked out of him.
Yeah.
Reckon we could get him on the pod?
I doubt it. I think he's probably a meth addict now. It didn't feel like his life was going in a positive direction.
Yeah, probably not.
Or he now runs prison reform and he sort of turned himself around in his mid-20s.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I was never in a gang in school. It was never really a thing I needed to do.
Well, you got off my street.
No, I don't. There was a couple. There were a few nasty gangs going around. There was one. There was one in my school that thought they were really tough.
Really?
And they were such a joke to us. They were called the Too Messy Crew.
Too Messy Crew is very funny.
And at one point, they spray painted on one of the sort of. What was it? It was like one of the cloakrooms or one of the rooms in the school. They just spray painted in big letters, "Too Messy for You." Four, well, like, obviously the number four, the letter
I get
U.
It, mate.
And we were like, whoa, these maybe are pretty... they're going up a gear. And then at one point they tried to film a rap video at a train station near where I lived.
Oh my God, that's amazing. Because I imagine they were not very good at rap.
I really wish it was still available. We used to watch it all the time and laugh at them. We just thought they were so funny.
I think I had a rap. What was it? Oh my God.
Surely, this is the best episode we've ever done. You had a rap.
It was something like, you know, not the gun, but it was like, hey, motherfucker, don't fuck with me. I tell you, fucking balls on the Christmas tree. So don't fuck with me, because you know me, the same OG who shagged your mummy and killed your daddy in an Audi TT. I've got no idea how
Johnny,
that's in my brain.
Johnny, wait, what?
Christmas number one, baby.
Johnny, wait. This is too much. This is listeners now. If you're driving, it is probably not safe for you to still be on the road listening to this. Please do that rap again, please. This is Johnny Pelham, aka JD Murder, of the Blazing Bengalis. Take it away.
Hey, motherfucker, don't fuck with me. I tell your fucking balls on the Christmas tree. So don't fuck with me, because you know me, the same OG who shagged your mummy and killed your daddy in an Audi TT.
Wait, okay, so let's unpack it. Did you write this?
I think, yeah.
Hey, motherfucker, don't fuck with me.
Yeah, solid. Bit of
steady
alliteration.
That's steady.
A bit of alliteration.
Because
I'll tie your fucking balls around the Christmas tree.
Round the Christmas tree.
Maybe we were going for Christmas number one, the Blazing Bengalis, and we try to get.
Well,
that
is
in.
It? I mean, was this before or after you were made an honorary Muslim? Because I reckon that would have caused a few alarm bells at the old for the rest of the gang.
But maybe I wasn't using the sort of the Christmas tree in a respectful way, was I? No, it wasn't like I was paying homage to Jesus. I was threatening assault.
This is absolutely brilliant. Right. Hey, motherfucker, don't fuck with me. What I want to know is, how do you remember that rap? And you literally...
I've got no idea.
First date with Sophie was.
I've got no idea how that stole
away. Hey, motherfucker, don't fuck with me.
I didn't know I remembered that. I didn't even remember the rap until, and it just popped straight in my head.
So, hey, motherfucker, don't fuck with me. Because I'll tie your fucking balls around the Christmas tree.
It wasn't fucking, it was fucking, alright? Whoa. I was a pretty bad 13 or 14 year old boy.
Okay, and then what's the next one?
Hey, motherfucker, don't fuck with me. I'll tie your fucking balls around the Christmas tree. You don't... What was it? Fuck, I've forgotten it. What did I just say? Hey, motherfucker, don't fuck with me. I'll tie your fucking balls around the Christmas tree. So don't fuck with me, because you know me. The same OG who shagged your mummy.
The same OG who shagged your mummy.
Killed your daddy.
And killed your daddy.
In an Audi TT. I think that's it.
I mean, I think it's weird that they've gone. I think killing your dad is worse than shagging your mum.
But also, if I shagged your mum, Sean, would you be happy about that? Next thing, from your
no, I guess so.
From your
I
perspective,
guess actually, I'm like, I could.
Would
deal
you have
with,
your
I could
dad
deal
was
with
murdered?
My dad being murdered. I don't know if I could deal with 13-year-old Johnny Pelham shagging my mum in an Audi TT. Wowee, that's so good.
It was good.
My friend used to do a rap. He used to have a little rappy, right?
What was it?
I don't remember all of it, but I remember at one point he said, what is it? He said, don't move this. I deflect the bullet. I'm the Rud Hullet of the gangster world. Which is not maybe not as tough as yours. I think maybe we were more old school hip hop. You were more gangster rap.
Yeah, yeah. I was doing
it. We were Jurassic 5, and you were like fucking Public Enemy. So what else did you get up to? What else happened?
It's not. One of the things I was thinking about was I had a friend. I won't say his name because I don't know that one. And after he was just so funny. He got sort of radicalized by the Iraq War, and he would just watch porn and spout Islamic hatred. But one time he was in ICT and he was watching a full blown porn movie, and then he got kicked out. And he didn't understand why he'd been kicked out of class. Like, he was literally like, I'm just watching a bit of porn. Like, it didn't make sense to him that he wasn't just allowed to watch porn in IT.
It is so, I mean, that's the thing with school, isn't it? Is you are, that's what's good, I think, about comprehensive education and why private education is not a good thing long term. Because I think about school, it's like you just have to be in the same place as a bunch of absolute fucking boneheads.
Yeah, you just have to deal with
it. There's always a threat of violence in the air. There's always a threat of something's going to happen. And if it's not going to happen to you, but it's going to happen to someone you know. And you're just dealing with idiots. You have to learn to deal with these idiots because these are the majority of the people in this world.
I think, like, I remember, like, the third day of my school, someone punched me in the throat and called me gay because I tied my shoelaces. And it's like, you just have to like understand. So there was just like a constant fear.
Yeah.
That was so true of my school. Because I was like white or nearly everyone was Asian. There was such an awareness that I might make a mistake, like tie my shoelaces, which would be like,
and then I'd have punched you in the throat.
And then I talked to my teacher about it. Yeah. He wasn't even a teacher. He was one of those like, did you have those like teaching assistants,
yeah,
and they try and be really cool. So this was the same teaching assistant.
Who were those idiots?
We were smoking weed in the toilets. He came in, and then we were like, oh, we're getting trouble now. Then he took a puff, winked at us, and went, "Don't tell anyone." And at the time, he was the coolest teacher in the world. I now look back and think, what a fucking weird man.
I look back and think the teachers that always try to get in with the bad kids,
I agree,
are the saddest people. Yeah. There was kids in my school, right, in my year, who got caught wanking in a bush with a porn mag during one of the breaks. They got caught doing that.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, you shouldn't be doing that. It, you know, that's by the by. You shouldn't be doing that. Of course.
Yeah, yeah. There's a book coming here, and I don't quite understand when the book's taking
place. Well, here we go. 3 years later, it's like the end of year 11 assembly or something. It's like a big thing for, you know, we're all leaving school. We finished our GCSEs. Some of us going to college, some of us aren't, whatever. And the head of year, who was one of these little idiots who all he ever wanted to do was impress the biggest twats in the year, like the most violent ones who get in all the trouble, they did nothing. And for some reason, he just thought, oh, I'll be their friend. Because he was, I don't know what was wrong with him. He didn't get enough love as a teenager or something. And he did a big list about the year, about all the people and all the characters in our year group. Oh, it's a big school. Yeah, there was like 400 people in my year group. And it was like, and then finally, he goes, and finally, the main thing we've learned is, and he called out those two people, goes, don't ever let those two go to the bushes. And I just thought, why are you humiliating a 16-year-old to try and impress idiots? Like, what is wrong with you? His name was Mr. Miller. I'll just say it. He was a fucking idiot. He was an idiot.
Let me tell you something, Sean. That'd be me if I was a teacher.
Yeah,
I 100% know I am. I'd want the cool kids to like me. I'd be the most pathetic version of a teacher. I'd be walked all over. I'd bully the weak kids. I'd make little sly digs.
You'd be there going, "Take that, you white bastard."
I'm still that human in my soul. I'm still that human, absolutely.
Oh, fair enough. Sorry, I just need to check this message I got.
Got a message.
Oh, whoa. Sorry, Alex. My wife needs her laptop charger.
Oh, do you need to go do that?
Yeah, I'll go give it to her.
Should I just fill? because editing's quite annoying.
yeah, wait, give me a second, let me just find it. Wow, this is I mean, what an episode this has been.
It's been fun, hasn't it? What's fun about I talk about being a member of the Blades Valdeshis in my stand-up, but I never was able to say that I was called JD Murder because no one would believe it. Like, genuinely, it passed. The audience had just got, that's bullshit.
That's so funny.
And right. it undermined the whole audience belief in the gang when I said that, so I just had to cut it. But it was genuinely true.
Right, I'm going now. Listeners,
how long will you be?
For 20 seconds.
Oh, great, we can do
Johnny,
that.
Do you think you've got it in you to fill?
Well, let's find out together.
Well, I won't be here.
Well, you'll listen back to it, though, and cut resounding no.
You're going to insult me, though, aren't you? You're going to insult me.
I won't insult you.
Think of another rap verse. How about that? Just do some more rapping.
All right, I'll rap.
All right.
Fucking hell, I've got to come up with a rap. I can't come up with a rap. It's too hard. It's too hard to spontaneously come up with a rap. What I've learned there is I'd be a lot like Eminem during 8 Mile. My palms are sweaty. Vomit on my sweater already. It's mum's spaghetti. And I've absolutely fucked it. But, fingers crossed, at the end of the movie, I'll come back with a really mean rap about some people who are difficult lives to impress a crowd of strangers. Which is really what 8 Mile is all about. I didn't do a rap, but I did give quite a brief but accurate synopsis of 8 Mile.
I'm back, putting my headphones, and all I heard was 8 Mile. So I cannot wait to listen to this and try and edit it.
I didn't come up with a rap. But what I did was, as I said, I came up with a brief and accurate synopsis of 8 Mile.
Oh, fair enough.
I think that's usable. I don't think it's good. But I mean, if we're using the criteria for good for what we edit out, it's a lot of work.
Yeah. I mean, that's never been in this podcast's remit. We never claim to be good.
No.
The only thing we claim that's good is Soups.
No, that's cool. Soups is cool, isn't it?
No, Soups is good. Soups is good.
Oh, Sean, I heard. I think we should add this to our catchphrase list. There was two a family running for a bus. One of them was, the mum was pushing a pram. There was a fat man behind them who just said, "I ain't fucking running for it." And I thought that should be. That's the "I ain't fucking running" is the most failing better.
I ain't fucking running for it, Johnny.
It was such a beautiful moment because the everyone else in the family was trying so hard to make this bus. And there was just the dad was just a twat. It was just like, "We're going to wait however long the bus is. We're waiting in the cold, kids, because I'm a twat." It was really funny, though.
I love that. I just love that. I can't be bothered to do a little thing now.
Yeah.
To save us all a lot of heartbreak. I mean, that's basically how I live my life, almost across the board.
Sean,
you know, if you unplug the thing after you finish with it, you save, I'm not doing that.
Yeah. You don't need to tell me. All you do is make me feel guilty temporarily that I'm not a better person.
Yeah, exactly. I'm with you there, Johnny.
Thank you.
How long have we done? I think it might be time for us to wrap up, is it?
I don't know. I think we started like quarter past, I think. So we've done like 43 minutes. Whoa. I think what we're aiming for is to make the podcast about 45 minutes. That feels like it works quite well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's been a fun episode, this, hasn't it?
I think it's been a cracker. It's been an absolute cracker.
I really enjoyed the Chris Eubank email.
I think your rap was the best bit. let me just see if there's... Have we got any email back? Oh, nothing yet. Gutted about that.
It'll happen. It'll happen.
Should we try and get? I mean, look, should we have a look who else... this speaker's agency, they've got a lot. They've got a lot.
Well, they're called Champion Speakers. But so
Business and Economics,
many.
They've got. Motivation and Performance. Sports. Technology. TV Celebrities and Chefs. Should we see what sports people we can get?
Yeah, or a chef. I'd quite like a chef.
Would you like a chef, actually?
I'm not a very good cook, so maybe you could teach me how to become a better cook.
All right, they've only got celebrity chefs. Is that going to be a problem?
No. I tell you, I quite like Jamie Oliver. I know it's quite a bold opinion.
Why do you like Jamie Oliver?
I think I just like him because everyone hates him. And I quite like... you know what I mean? Like, I like...
Do you like Hitler as well?
No, because Hitler tried to Hitler murdered 6 million Jews. Jamie Oliver.
How do you know that Jamie? How do you know Jamie Oliver hasn't done that? I don't think they represent Jamie Oliver. I tell you who follows me on Twitter. Actually, I don't know if he even follows me, but he sent me once a private message on Twitter. Is Jay Rayner, the food critic.
All right, what did he say? Get out of my bins. I know it's you. You've been herding the you've been turning the raccoons against me.
Did you like that, did it? What you just said?
I did. I really liked it. I like the idea of you as a leader of a group of raccoons who go around causing mischief in the area.
Raccoons?
Yeah, yeah.
Raccoons. I say raccoons. You say raccoons. This is like your tattoo thing again. This is like the way Johnny Bellum pronounces tattoo is tattoo.
Tattoo. I think I do call it a tattoo.
Is it basically if it's two syllables?
Raccoon.
You always emphasise the second syllable.
Yeah, yeah.
Or if it's got an ooh in it.
Ooh. Yeah. Sorry, I was just practising my ooh.
Baboon. Do you say baboon?
Baboon. No, I say baboon normal.
Baboon.
Baboon.
Baboon. I don't even know anymore.
That's the thing about all these things. If you say any word five times, you lose any sense of what the fuck is happening. It's like saying a word five times is very similar to doing magic mushrooms. It's like all of reality just fades away.
Great. Yeah, okay. Yeah, Jay Rayner. We can try and get Jay Rayner on the pod. He'd be good.
How much do you think...
He wrote to me because he saw me doing a car park gig.
Oh, you've told me about this gig and it was awful.
I was doing a car park gig during the midst of the pandemic. We had to do basically stand-up comedy in car parks to audiences that were in their cars. Have I talked about this on the podcast? I think I'm
No, you've just told me in person. It was really funny.
Yeah, and they were filming an episode of Celebrity First Dates at it.
Was Jay Rayner on Celebrity First Dates?
No, he was in another car. And he said, I thought you were really funny. I'm doing a cooking show at the same thing for cars later, like tomorrow. Have you got any advice? I was like, well, no, I have no advice. I was like, well, it's going to be very different.
Yeah, I mean, you should have sent him a recipe.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, this is a delicious goulash, if that's what you...
Should I write to him and just go, hey, Jay, do you want to be on my podcast?
Yeah, do it.
He would not remember me at all.
Would you say, I'm the weirdo who yelled at you in the car park?
No, I'm not going to start, I'm the weirdo who yelled at you in the car park. Other guests include Chris Eubank.
The podcast sounds like, because Sophie's got two BAFTAs, Ed Gamble's... It's very successful. Who else have we had on? Eleanor Tiernan's incredibly good comedian. I think the guests we've had make
Jordan
this podcast.
Jordan
Brooks is the...
We've had great guests.
We've had great guests.
And we're going to keep getting great guests, but we need to get great guests from outside the world of comedy. I think that's what we need to do.
Well, you're not going to like the next two guests we've lined up then, The thing we should say is we're going to do... An episode every two episodes a week.
we've gone from two episodes a week down to one episode every 2 weeks, listeners. Yeah,
on the Friday, we're going to try and have guests. So it's going to be the Tuesday one will just be us chatting, and the Friday one will be a guest. But that's that. And then also we should plug the Patreon. Right now is a great time to sign up to Patreon because we do the billing cycle on the 31st, so you get a month essentially for free, where you can check out, see if you think it's worth it. And if you do, then you can keep paying. But obviously, you can cancel, so you don't have to pay. On there, there's like 10 extra podcasts. There's one extra every week, which comes with a video. And also, there's two, or both of them have got specials on there, which are an hour of stand-up. My special is called An Hour, and is, of course, like 46 minutes long. I literally titled it. It was meant to be a best of. So I thought I'll just call it an hour because it'd be an hour. And then it turned out I did not have an hour's worth of good material.
Well, you get that if you sign up.
You get that.
And we're going to do... I'm in Manchester next week. And we're going to hang out and probably film some stuff and put it on Patreon.
And we're going to do a Christmas special where we get pissed. And that might be fun or it might be dog shit, but it might be worth...
And the people on there are nice and we all chat to each other sometimes.
We had a chat about the similarities or differences between Bill Clinton and Tony Blair.
Well, it was pretty one-sided chat with Fiona, one of our listeners. Fiona really, really tore you to shreds, if you want my opinion, Johnny, but...
Well, let's not get into that. If you want more on whether I was torn apart by Shrek's wife, subscribed to
our this has gone from being the best podcast we've ever done to the worst.
I know what you mean. I think the problem is that we've been podding for like 3 hours now, and by the third hour, if you're not talking about your gang from high school, you do struggle a bit.
Yeah. I could never go back and do my school days again. I find them...
You wouldn't be allowed, would you?
Well, I wouldn't be allowed. Not unless I got in some sort of Billy Madison-esque...
I would love
situation.
That. But do you think now, if you went back, you'd have the wisdom to... do you think you'd enjoy school now with the things you know? Because you'd be less anxious...
Well, myself now as a 35-year-old?
Yeah.
No, or like putting this brain
you're right.
into the body
it would be
of
awful. It'd be awful.
I hate it more.
Yeah, I would. I think everyone would. If you're the sort of person who's like, it would be great to go back to school knowing what I know now, you're probably a paedophile.
And that's a failing better guarantee.
I mean, that's... Yeah, it'd be a nightmare.
I think the problem was I couldn't... My thing with school, which always got me through, and I was fine in school. The teachers hated me, and I didn't like them.
Yeah,
but I was okay socially.
Nothing's really changed.
No, well, yes, teachers hate me anyway. Mm. But I always thought, well, I'm going to get out of here soon, and then everything's going to be fine. I go, one day I'm going to be old enough to not have to go to school.
One day I'm going to own the fancy dress.
One day I'm going to own this school.
And I'm going to be the owner of a massive fancy dress empire.
Yeah. But I think that, by the way, if you don't know what he's talking about, that's a previous episode where I was working in a fancy dress shop while I was also in school. Yeah. I think the problem for a lot of people, though, is there are a lot of people who are like, being in school is the best, and they never recover from leaving school. And I really do feel for those people.
It's such a red flag.
I just couldn't wait to get the fuck out of there. I just hated it so much. School is shit.
I think objectively, if you're like, school days were the best days of my life, you've lived an awful life.
Yeah, you're awful.
It's the worst. School is shit. And then you get out of school and you have more freedom. And then life gets better. But school, I mean, obviously school's fun for people like me if you're in a cool gang doing graffiti and rapping.
Yeah, of course. You're in you've got a burgeoning hip-hop career. Yeah, for people like me, you know, I'm looking over my shoulder. I've got the two Messi crew sniffing around.
Yeah, you're a Joe Schmo. You're not sort of leading the grime movement in Bradford.
I don't miss it in the slightest.
No, I don't.
I don't think about it. I don't think about my school days at all.
Do you think there was a lot of trauma there? Do you think is that why you don't think about it?
How is that the angle that you've taken?
Because you said you don't think about it. I think anything you don't think about is probably...
Well, why would I think about it?
Because you might
What's there to think about?
I don't know. You raise a good point. I think... I don't think about my school days either. I just know there's a lot of comedy there. So I thought, let's dig it out today.
Mine was just so middle of the road. There's nothing to report about my school days. My school was... fine. Like, it wasn't an amazing school, and it certainly wasn't like one of the shittest ones. It was just sort of like a bog standard comprehensive.
My school, they changed the name of it. It was called Challenge College. It was a new build. It was called Challenge College, and then like 12 years later it's now called Oasis Park Academy. So they just got rid of the name.
I'm gonna look it up.
It's on like Manningham Lane. It should be
Oasis Academy Shirley Park in Croydon.
No.
Oasis Park Academy, Bradford.
That should be it. Maybe it's not called Oasis Park. Bradford.
What's it called?
Bradford.
Oasis Academy. Oasis Academy, Lister Park.
Yes, that's it. Yeah, that's it.
Should we have a look at who... Wow, it's got a Wikipedia page. Do all schools have Wikipedia pages?
I've got no idea.
Does it have a...
I think I'm a famous alumni. I would love to
I wonder what the alumni are. That'd be a good way to end it. We can compare the alumni of our schools.
Yeah, that's nice.
It doesn't seem to have famous
alumni. It has no alumni.
But wait, what was it called when you were there?
Challenge College, but I think they've tried to bury that pretty hard because of how bad it got a really bad reputation. Challenge College Bradford, no, is there?
Challenge College.
Tears and smiles as Challenge College changes its name.
tears and smiles. Wait, Oasis Academy, Bradford alumni. I mean, if you're listed here, no, I don't think there is.
I don't think.
I'm gonna have a look at mine.
There's a woman who now writes for the Guardian who was in my class though, which is very impressive.
That's good.
Yeah, that's I think she's, I mean, clearly she's better than me.
Notable formal pupils is a list on my one.
Ooh. Are you on it? Are you on it?
Yeah.
Are you?
Connor Maynard. Pop
Conor
star
McGregor.
Conor McGregor. Pop star and YouTuber.
Jay-Z. And Sean McLaughlin all went to Brighton.
Oh my God, Grant Hall went to my school. He played for QPR. Are you serious?
I don't know. I've never... Grant Hall, the striker?
Grant Hall.
I've never heard of Grant Hall.
He's an English professional footballer who plays as a central defender for Rotherham United on loan from Middlesbrough. He's previously played for QPR, Brighton, Swindon, Birmingham and Tottenham.
Oh.
What? I wish I was him. Joe Gattick. Joe Gattick was in my year. Mike Gatting's son.
Is he a footballer? A cricketer,
Mike Gatting's, yeah, he was... They took him out in year 8 and put him into a private school. Because I think being at my school was affecting his ability to be a professional.
Happy.
Oh, no, he is a professional cricketer.
Are you on the alumni list?
No, not on this.
Oh, I thought you said you were.
No.
Oh, Sean, you should email in. Well, you're looking at the list now.
Email in.
Charlie, you can
see.
No, but
this is just on... I don't even think I have a Wikipedia page.
Oh, right.
Did one of our listeners want to make me... Ryan Moore, his sister was in my class. He's a big jockey.
Disc jockey or horse
Chris,
jockey?
You're a big cricketer, aren't you? Cricket fan? Who's Josh Poisden? Do you like Josh Poisden?
I've never heard of him. I only really know the England team.
He's a former cricketer. He suffered a fractured skull during a training session and had to retire. Well, there you go. What a lovely optimistic end.
Just because it should never really work at anything, because you might get a fractured skull.
Unless you sit in your spare bedroom making podcasts. Right, let's go. Genuinely, listeners, thank you so much. Thank you for all our new Patreons. We've had loads of fun to be had there. Patreon.com/failingbetter. Hate to say it, guys. I've barely said it this episode, but you've got to give us a 5-star rating and review, particularly if you're on Apple Music, please. It would really help.
Sean's losing his mind about the algorithm. It's quite fun, but it would help his blood pressure.
I really want us to get into the fucking chart. We're in the top 250 for Ireland at the minute. It'd be great to get there in the old UK. Otherwise, we'll have to defect.
And we'll go.
Abandon the crown. Yeah, move to the Emerald Isle.
The Emerald Isle. Build a new army there.
Sounds like we've got an army there. Certainly more sizable than one we have in our own home nation. But genuinely, thank you so much for all of it. And I thoroughly enjoyed this episode chatting to you, Johnny.
It's been lovely, hasn't it? We'll see you soon, everyone. Goodbye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.